Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. So, do you want marketing made simple? Shopify removes the guesswork with built-in tools that help you create, execute, and analyze all your online marketing campaigns. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/income. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Broadway Podcast Network presents Giants in the Sky, How Sondheim and Lapine Went into the Woods, with me, Ben Rimmelauer. Today's guest, Patti LuPone, Broadway legend / rejected Cinderella.
Once upon a time.
Patti LuPone recently won her third Tony Award for playing Joanne in Marianne Elliott's revelatory revival of Stephen Sondheim and George Firth's Company, a role she also played on London's West End, for which she won her second Olivier Award. She won her second Tony Award playing Rose in the 2008 revival of Gypsy, directed by Arthur Lawrence, and was also nominated for her lauded turn as Mrs. Lovett in John Doyle's 2005 revival of Sweeney Todd. Her association with Stephen Sondheim also extends to the New York Philharmonic productions of Sweeney Todd and Company, and the Lincoln Center presentation of Passion, all of which were broadcast on PBS, as well as Ravinia Festival concerts, including A Little Night Music, Anyone Can Whistle, and Sunday in the Park with George, and numerous tribute evenings. Patti won her first Tony for Evita and has racked up a total of 8 nominations across 40 years commandeering the Broadway stage in both musicals and plays, including War Paint, The Anarchist, Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown, Noises Off, The Old Neighborhood, Masterclass, Anything Goes, The Accidental Death of an Anarchist, Oliver, Working, The Water Engine / Mr. Happiness, and in repertory for the acting company, The Three Sisters, The Time of Your Life, Edward II, The Robber Bridegroom, Next Time I'll Sing to You, Scapin, Measure for Measure and The Beggar's Opera, as well as the upcoming The Roommate opposite Mia Farrow. Her other West End credits include Masterclass, The Cradle Will Rock, and creating the roles of Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard and Fantine in Les Miserables. She also starred in Candide with the New York Philharmonic and in Can-Can and Pal Joey for City Center Encores. Her theatrical concerts, A Life in Notes, Don't Monkey with Broadway, Faraway Places, The Lady with the Torch, Coulda, Woulda, Shoulda, Matters of the Heart, and Patti LuPone on Broadway, as well as An Evening with Patti LuPone and Mandy Patinkin, have played Broadway, Carnegie Hall, and some of the finest venues around the world. She has crossed over into the world of opera for Regina, The Rise and Fall of the City of Mahagoni, The Ghosts of Versailles, and To Hell and Back, and starred in The Seven Deadly Sins for the New York City Ballet. On film, Patti has been seen most memorably in Beau is Afraid, The Comedian, Union Square, Parker, City by the Sea, Heist, State and Maine, Summer of Sam, The 24-Hour Woman, Family Prayers, Driving Miss Daisy, Witness, and Fighting Back. She has been nominated for 2 Emmys, and her television series credits include the upcoming WandaVision spinoff Agatha, as well as American Horror Story, Steven Universe, Vampirina, Penny Dreadful, Pose, Army Wives, Oz, and Life Goes On, in addition to playing herself on Girls, Glee, and Will and Grace, and starring in the TV movies Monday Night Mayhem, Her Last Chance, The Song Spinner, and the Peabody-winning LBJ The Early Years. She has 2 Grammys and has recorded 7 solo albums in addition to cast recordings for all the musicals she starred in. She is the author of the New York Times bestseller, Patti LuPone, A Memoir.
Thank you so much for talking to me, Patti. I, like most Broadway fans and certainly Sondheim fans, you know, consider you for the last 30 years, maybe since you sang Being Alive at Carnegie Hall, or certainly since you played Mrs. Lovett in the first of your several Sweeney Todds with the New York Philharmonic, you were inextricably linked with the history of Stephen Sondheim. But there's also a legend around your sort of brush, the almost, you know, that never was of you in Into the Woods. And I wanted to get that story from you. And then also maybe if we could just set the context going back a little bit of like the Sondheim history of Patti LuPone. I know that you played Louise in Gypsy in high school. And, you know, when you were at Juilliard, did you go see Company and Follies? What was your even awareness of Sondheim in the early years?
Minimal, you know, because I was training to be a classical actor. So musicals were nowhere in my my mindset.
It's yeah.
Just Jacobean, Elizabethan restoration plays. So I did not go see Company. I knew it was on. I knew it was a success. I knew it was a Sondheim piece. And I was sort of like, yeah, well, I'm busy because I'm working 13 hours a day at Juilliard,
yeah.
6 days a week. So I didn't see that. I didn't see Follies. I didn't see anything. I didn't, you know, we used to second act plays, but I don't even remember if I second acted anything in Juilliard because it was a really grueling training. And it was just all about that. It was all about the training.
Yeah.
I fell out of love with musicals once I started training at Juilliard, studying acting at Juilliard. I just fell out of love with musicals.
Yeah.
And with classical theater. I met Steve. I can't remember when I met Steve, but I'm sure I met Steve at some point during Evita because he was such good friends with Steve, Hal Prince. But Evita was, I was in a totally different head all through Evita because it was the hardest role I'd ever played.
Yeah.
And it's not a happy experience at all.
Right.
But over the years, in Connecticut, I think I met him socially before I, in fact, oh, I know, I auditioned. So right after Evita, when was Sunday in the Park with George?
Well, that was 84. I was curious if you were like a fan even before that, because at Les Mouches, you sang Not While I'm Around.
Oh, right. So that's, and I have a picture with Steve.
Yeah. So, had you seen Sweeney Todd with Angela?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, and God, I mean, I can still see it in my mind's eye. It was so incredible. So incredible. But I auditioned for Bernadette's replacement and didn't get it. But I remember Steve coming down the aisle saying, I don't want any belting. And I went, oh, God. And, you know, intimidation right off the top. I didn't get the part Marianne Plunkett did.
Yeah.
And I was convinced that Steve hated me. You know, that was the beginning of, oh, he doesn't like me. He thinks I'm a belter. And, you know, what is belting anyway?
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not Ethel Merman, who was a trumpet. I don't even know what you could call her a belter. She was a trumpet. Then when I was offered Nellie Lovett with the New York Phil, and I don't even remember what year that was, the first thing I said was, does Steve know?
Right.
And it was due to Wells Kaufman, actually. Wells wanted to do, he wanted to do 5 years of Stephen's work from 70 to 75.
He was the artistic administrator of the New York Philharmonic at that time.
Right, and then he went over, he was the CEO of the Ravinia Festival. And what happened was we did Sweeney with the Phil, and then we followed him to Ravinia, and we did the 5 years there. I was apparently approved by Stephen. That was something that Nellie Lovett, never in my mind did I think I would ever be right for Nellie or offer the role. That was exciting because that was my first Sondheim role.
Actually doing them. But so then after not getting the replacement Dot in Sunday in the Park, which of course, you know, I stand with millions of fans just being utterly dismayed and horrified at that. Although maybe if you had done that, you wouldn't have done Les Miserables. I don't know whether that timing would have lined up in 85. So maybe it was all meant to be. But the year after that, there, I think the timing of Into the Woods is that they were getting ready to go do it. They had done a workshop at Playwrights Horizons where Betty Buckley played the witch. And then they were getting ready to go to the Old Globe.
Really? She played it first and then Ellen Foley?
Yeah, she did it on both sides. They rehired her. I think that that workshop at Playwrights was very short and, you know, was almost more like a table read. And I think that maybe Betty just, maybe that's when she went into Song and Dance. I think she was unavailable to go to San Diego. I don't really know how that worked out at that time. But I know they offered you The Witch at a certain point in there, which I believe was for San Diego. Is that right?
No, it was for Broadway.
But so it was after they got back from San Diego.
Yeah.
And
Stephen James wanted me to play The Witch. And I went, but I want to play Cinderella. The Witch is so obvious. I want to play Cinderella. So they let me audition for Cinderella.
Yeah.
And still offered me The Witch. Here's the sad part. I had no idea what the role entailed.
Yeah.
Nothing. They didn't show me any music, nothing. And so when it was The Witch again, we went into negotiation and Bernadette got everything that I didn't.
Yeah. And what does that mean, everything?
Well, it was billing.
Uh-huh.
Especially billing. It was like, oh, no, you're going to be below the title and everybody's going to be in alphabetical order. And I went, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And we passed on it. Mm. And then Bernadette got it all.
Yeah.
And so that was incredibly frustrating. You know,
yeah.
Why do you treat me this way and somebody else a different way?
I mean, she was also cast extremely last minute. They were like two weeks from starting rehearsals at the time that she was cast. I don't know if that had...
That's the luck of the good for her because she got it all because they were desperate. Yeah. I mean, but also, you know, it was sort of like, I didn't know anything about the role.
Yeah.
It was obvious casting. And unfortunately, you know, I regret, I was able to do Anything Goes. And
yeah.
And we were that sleeper hit.
Yeah.
Nobody imagined that Anything Goes would be competing with Phantom of the Opera, Andrew Lloyd Webber, and Stephen Sondheim. Nobody anticipated that.
Yeah.
And it was a riot. That was that, you know, if I had a choice, I would want people to be laughing. I mean, they laughed with tears in their eyes. You could see the jokes coming a mile away and you still laughed at them. And, you know, Jerry did a phenomenal job doing that. And, you know, but anyway, so back to Into the Woods. I was offered it again when I was playing Nellie Lovett at San Francisco with the San Francisco Symphony.
For the revival in 2001.
But I was already in negotiations for Noises Off.
Ah.
And Steve sat in my dressing room and I went, I'm in the middle of negotiations. You know, this is the worst possible timing because they're almost complete. I wished I'd had done it. And I think at some point I still need to play The Witch.
Yes, here.
I get it. But they did it already with somebody else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, now they're not thinking of me for The Witch, which is weird. But
I'm always thinking of you for The Witch and for every other part. But Paul Ford spoke very highly of your audition for Cinderella, actually. I mean, you know, wouldn't we all wish the tape of that existed? But, you know, he said, you know, Patty came in and sang this sort of soprano-y ingenue part, like, very, very, very well. I mean, he was, you know, two thumbs up on your Cinderella. And...
Well, you know, people forget that I played Rosamund Musgrove in The Rubber Bridegroom. People forget that I am basically a comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
And that I have a ditzy ingenue side.
Yeah,
all they see is, you know, what you're as good as your last shift.
Yeah,
you
know, right. Well, yeah. I mean,
everybody thought I was, you know, this daikuna bitch, you know.
Yeah.
For the last time, I am not on Ozempic. I made one little joke on this podcast, and everybody started calling me out, texting me, calling me cringe, whatever. I really was asked by people if I was on Ozempic, and as I told them, I am not. I am just eating Factor's no prep, no mess meals, okay? Warmer, sunnier days are coming. Fire Island season is here. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals. Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for? With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Crush your wellness goals this May with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients you can trust. From breakfast to dessert, stay fueled with easy, nutritious options. Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. And kitchen time is kept to a minimum. They are ready in 2 minutes. No shopping, no prepping, no cooking, no cleanup. Enjoy effortless support for your lifestyle. Choose from 6 menu preferences to help you manage calories, maximize protein intake, avoid meat, or just simply to eat well balanced. Head to factormeals.com/giantsinthesky50 and use code giantsinthesky50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code giantsinthesky50 at factormeals.com/giantsinthesky50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
But I mean, so, and then Ira Weitzman had notes on that audition timing being in the fall of 86. Would you, is it possible that there was like, that they came back to you a second time for The Witch, like later on, like that they started before San Diego offering it to you, even if they weren't, even if you weren't going to go, just to have you cast in it, you know?
No, unless my agents passed for me, but no, they would have told me.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing I remember and my experience with it was the Broadway production.
Yeah.
And I can still remember auditioning for Cinderella. I didn't need to audition for The Witch.
Yeah.
But they came back and said, we want you to play The Witch.
I mean, do you wish, in a way, if you had auditioned, maybe you would have had more a sense of what the part was.
Well, I wish they had given me material so yeah. I knew what the Witch was.
I mean, I know that that Betty Buckley's frustration was with the material, that so much of that what we associate with the final role was written very, very last minute, some of it even late in Broadway previews. So she never, you know, had that. She had a rap and she, you know, she's surrounded by co-stars singing beautiful music that she didn't have to sing. I think that was during that second workshop was in the summer of 87, before they started the Broadway rehearsals, but very, very close time to that. So she was in there right until just a few weeks before they started rehearsals. So I often wondered, is that when your offer was then? Like after Betty was gone, before they cast Bernadette in that tiny window, or would it have been prior to the workshop?
It was before Betty came in. They fired Ellen Foley for some reason. I auditioned. Who did they cast? Mother must have cast Betty.
Yeah, yeah.
And Betty was fired, and then they hired Bernadette.
Ah, okay. And, you know, were you, did you even get to see it on Broadway, or was
yes.
it much? You did?
Yes.
And did you think, I made the right choice. I'm in this hilarious, amazing hit. Or was there sadness of like, oh, this is this Sondheim role that
was always a question. You always, yeah. Well, I don't know about anybody else. I always question my decisions. What do I know? You know what I mean? I respond emotionally. And what do I really know?
Yeah.
I don't have to really, you know, I'm trying to find the right word. I'm trying to find the right word to how you make decisions. Mine are always organic and emotional, and that's not necessarily the right way to go about making decisions. You know, was I right to leave Miz in London?
Yeah.
Was I right not to? The Witch in the Woods. So I know that I was having a blast doing Anything Goes. And I don't remember having an overwhelming feeling about Into the Woods on Broadway.
Yeah.
But it was very dark.
Yeah.
Very dark. And I didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. And also the scenery bugged the shit out of me because it kept when the trees came in that made that noise. And I'm thinking, what? I'm not in fairyland anymore.
Wow.
No, I mean, the scenery was a problem.
I've only seen that production on the PBS broadcast where they were able to, you know, edit out the
track. Oh, it made a lot, the scene of the trees made a lot of noise.
Yeah, that's too bad.
And I remember, I think, being confused by it. But that could have just been the day I saw it and my concentration level. You know, it was a matinee, I think.
I mean, it's funny with Into the Woods. I mean, for me, Sondheim shows, I always ultimately love them the most, but I rarely fully get them on the first experience.
Yeah.
And Into the Woods is a show that, it's funny I'm doing this podcast because it's probably not even in my top six favorite Sondheim shows. I've just always been so fascinated about the creation of it. And it's, it has such a life now with the younger generation that grew up watching that video and seeing the Disney movie. And it's, so it's really kind of the most widely known Sondheim musical, you know, whether it deserves to be or not. You know, though, I mean, those, the darkness and or the way it's resolved or not resolved is what people always struggle with. I mean, the Frank Rich review was very mixed about it, even though he had loved Sunday in the Park with George so much, you know, and they famously had people leaving at intermission, you know, or thinking it was over. You're not alone. Were there, did you go see the revival that you'd passed on, you know, in the 2000s or any of the other?
Oh, you mean the one that had Vanessa Williams?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see it. I think I was on stage.
Yeah, well, I guess it would have been Noises Off times.
No, that Noises Off. Oh, yes, that was. That was Noises Off. But then, yeah. And then didn't I do something after that? Didn't I go somewhere? No, I didn't see that revival. I saw this last revival.
Yes. Did you see it like when it first opened with Sarah Bareilles?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved her.
Yeah, she was terrific.
And I loved seeing it on at Encores. I mean, kind of like the Sweeney Todd that I met you working on, to hear a Sondheim score with a full orchestra is, you know, a rare yeah. pleasure. So that was really wonderful. But I'm glad to hear you say that you still feel the witch is in your purview because...
Yeah, but it's one thing to have it in mind. Somebody else has to have it in theirs.
Well, I'm certain there's a lot of people that would feel that way. you know, and Into the Woods is one of those shows that there seems to be, you know, no end to how many different incarnations people will see, you know.
Yeah, right.
And you could do it in one of these kind of concert styles, like, you know, I mean, I know those things are a somewhat thankless marathon for the performers, but you know, then that's a way to give it to us for eternity without having to, you know, spend your year on it. See, I'm just trying to make the plan for you, Patty. That's all.
You'll have to run lines with me.
any time. I've got the Into the Woods script ready to go. Well, it's the last one. I mean, you haven't sung any of the music from it ever, I don't think.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, that's rare. I even heard you do Move On from Sunday in the Park with George in an early incarnation of the Patty and Mandy show.
Right, yeah.
So I didn't get your dot, but I'll say you were belting Move On and I was very happy about it. I don't know what Steve was talking about, but that was absolutely the way to go.
Well, no, I mixed it. It was a mix. It's always a mix.
Your mix famously has belting proportions. Wasn't there a voice teacher who was teaching like the Patti LuPone mix at a certain point, like during Evita?
I have no idea.
I think that was a thing. I'm sorry you didn't get money for it. But I'm glad you're still studying with Joan Leder. I've seen you recently just in as fabulous voices ever, unbelievably. I mean, just so I know the witch is still ripe in your voice.
Yes, I'm surprised at my voice. I have no idea why I still have one, but I do. Thank God.
Well, it's just living like a nun, you know, and just being just devoted to the voice. That's it, right, Patty?
No.
Amazing. Well, I'm so happy to get this from you because, like I said, I mean, you know, I think for everybody, ever since you did the Sweeney Todd and then of course Company and, you know, you're just such a part of Sondheim history of, you know, that last chapter of his career here. And Passion for, I just showed my friend your PBS Passion with Audra and Michael Service, so spectacular. And then this is this missing link. So I'm very happy to know it.
Thank you, darling.
And we'll forever regret that Paul Ford did not record that one day of teaching you. It wasn't even on the steps of the palace. It was an earlier version of it, back to the palace. But I hear you slayed and I believe it.
I would have been a good Cinderella.
Well, listen, it's not too late, Patty. You could do all those songs.
But I just would have had fun playing the role.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You would have been funny running in the ball gown, falling on your face. I mean, I know that would have been a lot.
Sodom and Musgrove all over again, yeah. From the bridegroom.
Yeah. 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 We didn't get that and we didn't get your dot, but I'm holding out for your witch.
Thank you. Me too. I'm holding out for it.
Thank you for listening to Giants in the Sky, how Sondheim and Lapine went into the woods on the Broadway Podcast Network. Look out for episode 60 with Michael Chabowski, first assistant to the lighting designer.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.